a single soul. Reaching a further and stepping in closer. CGN TV.
Hello, welcome to Living Life. Today I want to talk to you about how Apostle Paul preached the Word of God and the emphasis he had on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power Jesus Christ held as he was resurrected and brought up into heaven and is praying for us, and yet he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the first here is the gospel. This gospel, it was a life or death matter. You understand, right? Because the superpower Roman government leader, Caesar, was looming largely over them. And he was not just ridiculing them for believing in this. This is not about Romans saying, you know what, you're bad people, or bullying them, but this is about killing them and killing their family. So this belief was not something that's accessory, but it was essential to their livelihood. You know, if this is true, then it's worth dying for. If it's not true, then why are we risking our own life and livelihood for such message? And so, 2,000 years removed, today we look at this verse and we go, you know what? Is it that important? But yes, it is. For the first hearers, it was about life and death. And with that kind of sincere heart, let's approach the Word of God today and let's hear line by line what it means to believe in a resurrection of Jesus Christ and the power that Christ holds through that resurrection. And so let's go to the Word of God with humble hearts. We'll come back and talk about these matters together.
First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 34. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn, Christ the firstfruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him, who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day. I mean that, brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, why have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame.
Back 2,000 years ago, Romans were not just angry at these new kind of religious philosophy people called Christians. They were alarmed. Why do you think they were alarmed? It's not because they believe some guy died and resurrected. I mean, they can dismiss that and say, you know, we've heard worse kind of lies before. It was something that was threatening their government and their power. Why? Because they were speaking such things like this. Verse 24, if I can remind you again, it says, then the end will come. Can you imagine people gathering around talking about these things? Then the end will come. Then he hands over the kingdom of God to the Father. And the he here is Jesus Christ. The guy who died and resurrected, who claims to be Son of God, he will hand over the kingdom of God to the Father, God, after he has destroyed what? All dominion, authority, and power. And that includes Caesar. Caesar is the one who used all kinds of propaganda to aggrandize himself. He threatened, killed, murdered. I mean, he wiped out, whole town, sometimes crucifying 3,000 people, 5,000 people in one day on crosses, multiple crosses, just so that he could say, you know what, I am the dominion, I am the authority, I am the superpower. You either follow my leadership, you call me Lord, or you'll die, is what he said. And he usually used two propaganda. He said, Caesar is Lord. It's literally what he said, that everybody should confess. And the second thing is, there's only one name under heaven, that is Caesar, who can save you. But what happened? The first Christians, they were using this Roman propaganda that was making the land of Rome, a Roman government, bigger than any kingdom we've ever known. It extends from modern-day England all the way to India. Can you imagine the massive military power that was looming over them, putting their boots, right up on their neck and choking them, and with fear, trying to rule all these people? You either pay the money into my pocket and become my kingdom, or you die. And that's what the cross was all about. It's a way to teach people a lesson by killing some of these people, in the broad daylight, when in a thoroughfare, and so that people will never attempt to ever engage in kind of an uproar or doing anything against the government, saying any propaganda like all power is Jesus Christ's. Jesus Christ is Lord. That's one propaganda, right? That the first Christians used of the Roman propaganda, and they used it right to talk about what they believed. Jesus Christ is Lord. Not only that, Jesus Christ saves us. Now, can you imagine the first hearers of the gospel? They had to make a choice, because they know that Caesar is not going to let them proclaim these things without any kind of repercussion. So this was a life and death matter. And when you talk about stuff like, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. I mean, this is amazing, because death was the very power that this government, Roman government, empire had. It's the only thing they've got. It's the whip that they have to control the people without power. And yet, this King Jesus, this Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Jesus Christ, he died and resurrected. And what does he do? He put everything under his feet. Not only that, he says, you know what? I'm going to destroy death itself. If you believe in this kind of stuff and you really live, then you become really bold. You can stand up against any kind of government, any kind of threat, because after all, what's the worst thing they can do to you? They can kill you, but they can't take away your will. They can't take away your dream. They can't take away the resurrection power of Christ Jesus. You see how kind of threatening this was to the empire of Rome? Well, I want you to know that, because we need that kind of boldness in our walk with the Lord as well. Because a lot of times we say we love you, Jesus, but when we are actually living, we do what the world tells us to do. We say, Caesar, all right, I'll obey. We say, money, okay, fine, I'll do what you need me to do. Okay, power, okay, well, I will just bow down to you. Brothers and sisters, I know this because it's a real problem for me too. But I want to remind both of us that the Christ who died for us is not just giving us ticket to heaven. He's the one who gives us boldness to proclaim that Jesus is Lord over death, even Lord over all. There's no other power under heaven that can save us or that can lead us into righteousness. And so let's hold on to Christ, even though everything that we see around us sometimes is very threatening, just like the Roman Empire. They look powerful, but let me tell you, the one who resurrected, he's the real power. So may he continue to guide you and comfort you and give you all the love that you ever need. Thanks be to God. I want to end with verse 33. It says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You probably heard this phrase many times before. I don't think it's saying that don't be friends with people you disagree or, you know, that you don't like, you know, because, you know, life can't, it's not that simple. I mean, you need all kinds of friends. We also need to be friends with people who don't believe in Jesus. You know, that's what makes life life. Well, what it's saying, though, is bad company here is about the ones who are, you know, taking your eyes off of the truth, you know, the ones who just continue to give you a challenge to actually pursue godly life. If you only surround yourself with those company, then what'll happen is you are really some of who you hang out with, you know? And so you need to be very careful of who you give your heart to, the core friendship that you have, you know, the buddies, you know, the buddy you have, not the ones who you kind of know, but the ones who you share life with. Well, you know, please, you know, take a moment to think about how you need to, not who you need to take out of your life, but who you need to add into your life, who you need to add into the core friendship that you have, the network of people that you regularly spend time with. Some of them better be some good company so that you are some of who they are. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we live throughout today and this week, we want to be reminded of the power of resurrection. That, Lord, you are the Lord, not any other power that think, you know, will be threatening to us. Father God, we want to honor you with our lives, especially, Lord, as we make friends. We want to make sure that some of the core people are the ones who share our value, that spur us on into the holiness. And so, Lord, help us to be wise in those who we hang out with as well. Lord, we give you our lives. We are so thankful to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a single soul, reaching a further and stepping in closer, CGM.